So what's new with you? Anything going on? Just chilling? Hanging out? Last Sunday was Easter, huh? Yes. Woohoo! So what's new with you? Everything. Anything? You know, here's the thing. I believe if Easter doesn't change you, the fact that Jesus died for your sins so that you could be forgiven and set free, that everything that all of the mistakes that you've ever made, everything you've ever regretted, everything that's ever gone wrong in your life, every person that's ever hurt you or you have ever hurt, anything that's ever, ever, ever caused you pain or sorrow or suffering got buried in the tomb. And then he arose from the dead, just like he said he would. And in so doing, he brought new life to us all. That those things that once were in the grave, and they need to be put there, right? And stay there, right? So the things that are dead, dead and gone are what? Dead and gone. And now we're changed and transformed, aren't we? Because there's something freeing, and there's something great, and there's something powerful in resurrected life that we have through Jesus Christ. Right? Right? So based on Easter, with the fact that we know that even death could not destroy him, nothing can destroy him, which means nothing can destroy us. And we can live forever, can't we? And we can live an abundant life, can't we? Yes, because of that. And we can live guilt-free, right? Right? You don't have to go to the store and buy the guilt-free stuff on the shelves anymore and feel better, good about eating it, right? Huh? I think there was a brand about that once, right? Or something, right? You could eat it and you don't get any fatter eating it, right? I don't know about that. But anyway, all I'm going to say is this. Isn't it good to feel guilt-free? Isn't it good to know that all of your mistakes are forgotten and forgiven? Now, who needs to forget them the most? You do. So I'm giving you the gift of amnesia this morning. Hallelujah to the name of God, right? It's all gone. And when you're free and all your baggage has been put behind you and left in the grave, right? I mean, when Peter and John got to the tomb, all they saw were the grave cloths and the linen cloth that was on Jesus' head. That's all that was left behind, grave cloths. You notice that Jesus left them behind. He didn't leave the grave with them on him, did he? Like Lazarus that came out of the tomb. Remember him? He came out of the tomb with the grave cloths still around him, still ensnared in them. Because that was the human part of that. And Jesus said, pull those off and let them go. Set them free, right? And we know that when Jesus rose from the dead, the grave cloths that were on him, he no longer wore them anymore. He no longer wore them. Nor do we need to wear them, do we? We don't need to wear anything that's died in us anymore, do we? No, we don't. Anything that's gone from our life is gone, isn't it? And a new life has come. When he stepped out of the tomb, he was totally dressed. I mean, I don't know if they had tuxedos back then, but maybe that's what he should have had on, baby, right? Looking good. A whole new life. A resurrected life. And he went to the disciples and showed himself. He went to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to them and he showed them, you know, the nails in his hands and his feet to prove, hey, this is me. I rose from the dead just like I said it was. Here's my scars to prove it. But guess what? I'm not talking about my scars. I'm talking about how your life has been changed because of my scars. You've been set free. You've been redeemed. You bought with an enormous price. And we, because of that great gift that we've been given, it just makes perfect sense to me that now we need to change and live a new life, don't we? We don't have to live the old way we used to, do we? We don't have to go back to that, do we? You don't have to. Will we? This side won't. Okay, beautiful. I'll get it. All right. So we'll get to this side in a little bit. That's fine. No worries. So let's turn to the book of John this morning, chapter 21, because, you know, somebody that was at the crucifixion and somebody that was at the resurrection was Peter. We remember Peter. We love Peter, don't we? Peter's our great example of a mess up. So that gives the rest of us hope, right? If God could use Peter, he can use us, can't he? Right? Isn't that cool to know that? So good. So see, you're in good company. All right, beautiful. So you don't have to be perfect to be used by God, do you? Of course not. Who makes you perfect? God does. God does, right? Because you're the image and likeness of God. And we're all sons and daughters and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's the first to rise. And we're his brothers and sisters. So that makes us great company with Jesus, right? And that makes us powerful. It makes us awesome. All right, beautiful. So John chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Remember he told Mary to meet me in Galilee? Okay, well, this is where we pick up the story. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back to Peter and the other disciples for just a second. They had seen Jesus crucified. They saw him rise from the dead. And God had said, "I'm going to meet you in Galilee." Christ said that, right? He appeared to them in the upper room, and they were afraid. And he showed himself to them. And he said, "Wait to go ahead of me, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and you're going to start God's work." And so in the meantime, what does Peter do? He goes fishing. Now, here's the thing. In the Greek, it actually means he goes back to fishing. Where did Jesus meet Peter and the other disciples? Fishing in the sea, at the Sea of Galilee. That first time he met Peter, he couldn't catch anything then either. Obviously, Peter needed to give up fishing, okay? God obviously knew that. "You're not so good at it, Peter, after all. Let me make you a disciple instead." So he goes back to it. He goes back fishing. And notice his leadership skills. See, Peter doesn't just go by himself. What happens? They follow him. His other disciples go with. Other disciples meaning Jesus' disciples, right? They go fishing, and they catch nothing. Way to go, Peter. Nothing new about him. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" I know you can't because you can't catch fish. You didn't catch them. Catch any fish, boys? Any fish? Did you get anything? "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish." So he gives them instructions as to what to do. "Throw your net overboard to the right side of the boat, and you're going to catch plenty of fish." So they did. And they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. Look what happens when Jesus shows up to your fishing trip. Or anything that you do, right? When you're doing things on your own and you're even going back to the way you used to be and you're trying to do life on your own the way it used to be, you know, Peter thinks, "Well, I can't wait for Jesus. He's obviously, the Holy Spirit's not going to show up. Evidently, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm going fishing." He wasn't very good at it. And Jesus shows up, throws a net overboard, tries again, only this time. It's so massive. You see when Christ steps in, when God steps in to what you're doing, you see how God multiplies your work? What do we have to do? Just throw the net out, right? We just follow directions, don't we? We don't, you know, I mean, I don't see an argument here on Peter's part. Sometimes he used to. Sometimes we are like, "I've been fishing all night. Why? Okay. What makes it any different?" God steps in. When God steps into your life in any circumstance that you have, something new and different happens, doesn't it? Something miraculous happens, doesn't it? Do you need a miracle today? Yes. You need Jesus to show up? Okay, beautiful. There he is. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Obviously, John knows that's only Jesus could pull this off. Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and swam ashore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 300 feet away. When they got there, they saw that a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. What do we have here? Wait a minute. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Obviously, this number is specific. It's written down, 153, for a reason. And the fact that the net was not torn is another spiritual lesson in all this. First of all, the 153 represent the species of fish that were available in the world at that time. Every type of fish was in that net. 153. Is God a God of diversity? Absolutely. Does God include everyone and every type of species on the planet? Yes. Every kind of person on the planet? Yes. So you're one of the 153, right? That God's caught in his net. And the net didn't break. There's always room for more, isn't there? Beyond that. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. And no one dared to ask him if he really was the Lord because they were sure of it. Oh, yeah. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Third time they've seen him. Now look at the story here, right? Where did Jesus get the fish and the bread? What's Jesus always about doing? Feeding his people. He's the bread of life. Listen, they went out fishing, right? Because that's what Peter knew how to do. Not very well, but that's what he was used to doing. Right? He went fishing because he couldn't wait on Jesus. He didn't know, you know, he figured he's going back to his old life because what he had thought Jesus was supposed to be was to bring the kingdom of God, right? He was supposed to free them from the Roman Empire, right? Jesus didn't do any of those things. He died and rose again, but Peter still didn't comprehend the spiritual significance of all that. But when they come back in from shore with all these fish that Jesus helped them catch, when they get there, here's a meal ready for them, fish and bread. Do you suppose that maybe Peter and the rest of the disciples who had been with Jesus on the mountain the time that he fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000, do you think something came back to their memory bank? I've seen this before, fish and bread. Where have I seen that? Let me think. Fish and bread. Peter, when do we see fish and bread before? Oh, yeah. Jesus multiplied it and fed the 5,000 that were hungry. He had compassion on them, so he fed them. Do you see how Christ, even after his death and resurrection, the greatest thing he could have ever done, he gave his awesome life and he sacrificed it. He's the bread of life. Although he died, he rose again, right? He's still feeding people, isn't he? His disciples and caring for them, isn't he? Today, isn't Christ feeding us? Now, yes, after church, we're going to have fish and bread. Aren't you excited? Oh, no, green beans. I guess there's green beans back there. Sorry, I got it. And bread. We do have bread also. So green beans and bread, we're, you know. But do you see how God provides? Do you see how God provides food in the literal? See, God uses the literal to teach us the spiritual. When you have a need, no matter what it is, particularly if it's in the physical, is God going to provide for you? Yes. And more importantly, what about the spiritual aspect of things? Will God provide? Of course. Is everything that we learn in the spiritual and physical, is it about something spiritual? Yes, of course it is. What is it teaching you today, church? That Jesus Christ cares about you so much that even when you want to go back to doing it yourself, and even though you're trying to make life work on your own, and even though you think you can and all those kind of things because you've got skills and gifts and talents and all that stuff that we humans have, right? We have qualities, don't we? We can do lots of stuff, can't we? And we think we do because of our work. We think that's how we get money to do things with it, don't we? We think it's our work. Where do we get that work from? God, right? It's a gift from God. And the talents and gifts that you have came from God, don't they? And listen, isn't it nice to know that, imagine this, you're out there fishing, your stomach's growling, and you're thinking, you're out there with those other fishermen, and you're thinking to yourself, we're not catching any fish, what are we going to eat today? Right? How are we going to, if we're not going to get any, catch any fish, are we going to be able to sell any fish and make money for it to buy some food? No, are we? We're not, are we? But what happens? What happens when you get to shore and you give up trying to do it all on your own? There it is. Bread, charcoal. I mean, and fish. Fish just being roasted over that. I mean, Jesus is like a barbecue guy. I mean, the man could cook, even. He could do it all. He catches a fish. He multiplies the bread, and then he cooks it and serves it to you. What more do you need? Think about it. He's a great servant, isn't he? Did he not wash the disciples' feet the night he died? Yes, he did. Servants, what did he say to them? Whoever wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all. What is he talking about servitude about for? Because that's the greatest spiritual lesson we learn from Jesus Christ. It is about service, not about being fed. Here's the odd part. We get fed, right? All of us get fed regardless, don't we? We all get to eat of that food that God has for us, don't we? Not a one of us ever goes hungry. But not only that, we're then to take it and serve others, aren't we? That's the great lesson we learn in this. 153 fish were caught. What are we going to do with those 153 fish? Yes, we're going to share them with others that are hungry. You see how Christ teaches us things about how we are to have a new life in him? Let me move on to the part of the story I wanted to get to. So, but you had to hear this part because it's connected. Because it's about you, isn't it? The story's about you. It's not about Peter. It's not about Jesus. It's not about Paul. It's not about John. It's not about the sons of Zebedee. It's about you and me and us as a church body. This story is about us and the people that we are here to help serve, isn't it? After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these other people love me? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Once more Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Peter was a fisherman. Not a very good one. Now he's going to become what? A shepherd. He's going to go from the sea to the land. And he's not going to catch fish anymore or catch people, although Christ said that initially, right? You're going to go out and catch people. I'll teach you how to fish for people, souls. I'm going to teach you that. That's what he taught him in those 3 years. And then now the beginning of Peter's new life, remember? He messed up 3 times in denial. Guess what? He gets to prove his love for Jesus Christ. And Jesus asked him 3 times. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Are you sure you love me? Because you know what you're going to do if you do? You're going to feed my sheep. You're going to take care of my lambs, which are baby sheep, right? The little baby lambs. You're going to take care of them. You're going to feed them. That's what the new life for Peter was going to be. No longer was he going to be out there trying to fish and not catch anything and all those kind of things, and Jesus had to step in. His ministry began after Christ's resurrection to be someone who went out and fed people and cared for them. See, take care of my sheep. There's a lot of work to taking care of sheep. Most of us don't. I mean, we have pets, right? So we have PetSmart. So we understand dogs and cats and other animals, right? We care for them, don't we? And we take care of them, don't we? Just a small example. Can you imagine having a whole flock of those? Well, can you imagine in a church, you're considered the sheep, aren't you? And what does Jesus say to Peter? If you love me, you're going to take care of my feet, my sheep. That's right. You might just have to wash them today, team. Yes, and I've been sweating quite a bit on these. Fantastic. yeah. Because, you know, it's odd because I saw that. I saw him washing their feet. I did. I literally did. And then it was like, okay. And when you think about sheep and so forth, I mean, they get muddy. They get muddy and dirty. They get stinky. They really do. A wet sheep, woo-wee. You ever been, you know, well, okay, so sheep are what? People? Okay, so every once in a while, some of you gonna have a problem, aren't you? Go astray. See, we know that God is going to provide for us, right? God is going to give us what we need to do what? Feed others. What's going to be new for us based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our new life that's full of abundance is not just saying, I'm saved and you know what? I'm forgiven and hallelujah, I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to meet Jesus and woohoo, I can't wait for that day. Being a Christian in this church, at least, is not that. It's about you growing. And beyond that, it's about you doing what? Sharing and serving and helping and caring for the sheep. And it's work sometimes. But it's rewarding work, isn't it? I don't know about you, but to know that I'm forgiven and given a new life, and I never have to have guilt or shame again, ever. And then I am free to live my life to the very fullest. That's awesome. But it serves absolutely no purpose if I don't share that with others and give them what I have, right? And the same is true for you. So you might not be a great fisherman, and you might not be great at a lot of things, but God's going to determine what you are good at. And I believe that every last one of us that love God and love Jesus Christ and what he did for us, we can feed people, can't we? One way, shape, or form. It might be through a song. It might be through a dance. It might be through preaching. It might be from holding someone's hand. It might be through prayer. It might be through packing bags to send to the Dominican Republic. It might be from making the grounds here prettier and more beautiful so people can see when they walk up here God's creation. But especially it means having the diversity of 153 different types of people. Everybody's welcome in this church, right? But, you know, beyond that, everybody in this church can serve, can't you? There's plenty of opportunities. And if we don't have one and you think of one, you can start one. And how are we going to know whether or not we can do that? Well, you just might find that when you're starting something out and you're thinking, how am I going to get this done and how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that, that when God steps in, suddenly you go, oh, well, look. There's some green beans. Where do these come from? There's cases of them. I guess what I know what I'll do with them. I'm going to eat them all. I guess I know what I can do with them all. I'm going to share them and feed God's people. Feed God's people. You know, very often through ministry, we sometimes think that we have to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus dying and rising and all that. But you can't tell them that when they're hungry. You can't tell them about God's love in just words and in scriptures, as beautiful as the scriptures are. But I'll tell you what, when you hand somebody a sandwich or you hand somebody some food or you give somebody a ride somewhere or you lift their spirit in some way, shape, or form or you put a little barrette in their hair or you help them get educated or you give somebody a hug, that speaks louder than any great oratory preaching anybody could ever do. And that's why this church is the church of service. We serve our community. We serve God, and we serve one another, just like Jesus. So what's new with you? Everything. What are you going to do with that everything? Share with everybody. You got it. What an awesome church. We're good. We're good. Pass the green beans. And come and get a hug. What do you say about that? All right, all right. Amen, amen.